now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, my guest is Judith Quoba of the Night Flight Show, and I've been a guest on her show. She's been a guest on my show. I've been really looking forward to this discussion with Judith. So without any further ado, Judith Quoba, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thank you so much, James. I'm really happy to be here and can't wait for our conversation. Crazy times we are in. Yeah, we are in it.
Oh, yes. This is the interesting times that the Chinese crisp is all about, or the Chinese warning. From a European perspective, from a German perspective, what have you been noticing? Because from the Australian and American perspective, the dreaded second wave is here. Overnight, we're saying a new record in cases, a new spike, a new outbreak center, and the restrictions are coming back. The state of Victoria pretty much locked down in Australia. Now there's talk in my state, New South Wales, of more restrictions. So what's it been like at your end there in Europe?
Okay, here in Germany, now they came up with the idea to ban leaving the country. A limited ban for leaving the country in case you live in an area where there is more outbreak. And we know how it is. I mean, all these numbers that they throw out and cook up, they do not make sense at all. And they are highly questionable. So, but here we are. They talked about it for a couple of days, and today they decided that, yeah, guys, you know, in case you have an increase in COVID numbers, you cannot leave the country anymore. How did you say that in English? German Democratic Republic 2.0. Merkel did it. She did it. Yeah.
She's basically a communist. She might as well have been in the Stasi back in the day, right? Because
she was.
But she was. Mm-hmm. That surprised me. Why not? I mean, and what we're seeing also is the gaslighting effect for people who know what's going on or have a very good idea. We're seeing from the Centers for Disease Control, we're seeing even from the World Health Organization statements that contradict what the mainstream media narrative is. And it's gotten to the point of absurdity and lunacy, Judith, where someone on my Facebook wall posted a video. I haven't watched it yet because I just couldn't stomach it at that point. But it was a woman wearing a mask castigating others for eating without a mask, right? So we've reached this cloud cuckoo land where we're expected to eat with a mask on. So
How do you do that?
So when you have that level of insanity, it's, you know, we really are in interesting times. Now, from your perspective also, what's been going on in parallel to this, because they all work together, as you know, the, at least in the Western world, communist insurrection that's at work. I'm not making light of it. I'm just laughing at the insanity of it all. Germany for so long has been a battleground between what they used to call in the old days the Reds, right? The battles between the communists and the Freikorps in the 1930s. Now we have pretty much a Stasi state, unfortunately, in Germany. What are we seeing as far as, I don't know how much of German culture is left, Judith. You know, what's been going on in Germany lately?
Well, I guess it's a little bit like it is anywhere else. The majorities are going along with it. But here and there are little pockets of, you know, hope. For instance, I had a conversation with in an elderly couple today. I came out of a supermarket. I just had to grab a few items because for the most part, I'm ordering it now online so that I do not even have to deal with the entire thing, going there, wearing a mask, so on and so forth. And so when I came out, I wasn't even quite out of the shop and I already ripped off my mask. And there was an elderly gentleman standing there and he said to me, "Oh, finally, that thing is gone, yeah?" And I said, "Yeah, it's really, really sad what we are willing to go along with." And he said, "Yeah, it's our fault." And then we started talking a little bit. And a couple of minutes later, his wife came because he told me that he is suffering from, is it OCPD in English?
Yes.
Okay. So he has a document from his doctor, but he says, "I don't want to go in there. I don't want to people yelling at me. Do you think you are better than others and you don't need to wear the mask? And I don't want the hassle. So I'm just waiting here for my wife." And they both agreed that there never was a pandemic. And I thought, and they were in their 80s. So I thought, my goodness, there are still people out there who can think. And they were very upset because they told me that in the very beginning, family members came along and told them, "You know what, we want you to stay home. We do all the shopping. We do everything you need for you. And you never have to go out." And then he said, "Are you crazy? You are not going to turn our home into a prison. We know you mean well, but you are nuts." Yeah. So, but as I said, for the most part, people are going along with it. And in terms of German culture, yeah, it is there. But, you know, who would have thought that, for instance, in the USA, people would go along with something like that and still believe they are being kept safe and that they are free individuals? Nothing could be further from the truth. So I think we see it all over the place. The same thing that worked in Nazi Germany, papers please. And if you do not obey with this and that. Yeah, now it's working all over the world. Very sad, but that is how it is.
That's socialism in action. And the efforts at keeping everybody in this permanent state of fear with all these, nowadays it's, you go into a shopping center and suddenly there's a COVID-19 testing clinic there that wasn't there the other day. And we already know about how questionable the test results are and whatnot. So we've reached that stage of cloud cuckoo land. And as we progress, Judith, going forward, I don't know in the past what effect culturally, socially, the presidential elections had in Europe and in Germany. I know that there's a lot of discussion there about these issues because it affects the whole global community. But as we're going in that direction and we're seeing more and more chaos and strife in America, what's the impression, if you've had any opportunity to talk to others, what they think is going on in America and if they see any parallels with their own past in Europe and in Germany?
Majorities think that Trump is nuts and that should never have happened, that he became president. And during those days, I usually told them, I know the Hillary Clinton, you know, the criminal would have been so much better. And but honestly, I mean, come on, they have like roughly 300 million people, and out of those, that was the choice, Trump or Clinton, seriously. And I mean, this year it isn't even better. You have somebody with dementia, Biden, and yeah, okay, again, Trump. So even if you believe in voting, even if you believe in government, which I do not do, but it cannot be that out of that pool of people, that these are the choices. That's ridiculous.
Yes, of all the people, excuse me, the Democrats want to run out there to compete for the presidency. You have this old dementia-ridden pedophile, Biden. And I don't even know who his running mate is, who is going to be his vice president. Someone told me there was this woman that they were going to make his vice president. And the way I see it and the way a lot of people see it is if somehow the Democrats win the election, if there is an election, the aged, dementia-ridden Biden will be pushed aside, kind of like the way Reagan was pushed aside, and then George Bush, the elder, really ran things as far as the presidency was concerned. Probably something similar to like that, like there'd be like a regent or something behind the scenes that are, you know, while Biden is drooling and falling asleep in meetings, there'll be a group that's basically the way it is now, but it'll just be more overt and more blatant, you know, if they somehow get in. And then, like I said before, if the Democrats somehow win this election, I think right now, if they were to have an election right now, Trump would win in a landslide, basically, because a lot of people with common sense see that, well, the Democrats stand for nothing but chaos and disorder and violence and hatefulness towards America. So what's the point of voting for those psychos? Like, you know, take my chances with these Republicans, right? So it's a very interesting dynamic at work that we're seeing all this stuff sprout up and coalescing, Judith. Now we know that we've talked about this in the past. There is a archontic demiurge, indeed non-human factor pushing all this from behind. I'm also seeing that aspect of it, the Wetico demiurge archontic aspect, really polluting the minds of people too. I spoke about that woman who's getting mad at others for not eating with a mask on. I think that we're seeing a lot of people basically taken over by this Wetico spirit, so-called.
Oh yeah, definitely. People sometimes say some of them are totally out of their minds and yelling at each other. You know, I released a short video. There were basically retired people, and one group was for Trump, the other group was against Trump. And then they started yelling at each other. One was screaming white power, and the other one, you are all fascist nuts. And, you know, and you look at that and you think, seriously, you are at this age and you behave like little kids. And what's the point of yelling at each other because you believe different things? Because this side will not convince the other side and vice versa. So, I'm under the impression that a lot of people are remote controlled. Let's put it that way. And they are not even aware of it. And a huge chunk of that is media. And I'm pretty sure that with the media, a lot of subliminal messaging is going on as well. And yeah, you pick that up. And some people even, you know, they fall asleep. They have a TV in their bedroom. They fall asleep. And then it's, you know, pumping into the subconsciousness for hours and hours, and whatever they are telling you there on TV. And here, $3.99, you have to buy now, call this number. what do you expect will happen to your mind?
Yes, if the nature abhors a vacuum, so if there's emptiness there, or there's, self-doubt, confusion, and idiocy, basically, this other stuff will rush in to fill the vacuum. Now, one of the things that's come up, which wouldn't be a surprise to you, Judith, because you have a unique perspective about this, because from a European, from an African background, from a global perspective, not a globalist perspective, but having an understanding from a cosmopolitan standpoint, some of the reports that we were hearing, which I don't have any reason to doubt, was that the Chinese have been funneling large amounts of these modifications to rifles in America, which can turn them fully automatic. And this was in conjunction with, now we understand the reason behind it, during the Obama administration, the Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearm Agency, part of the federal government, instituted something called Operation Fast and Furious, where they allowed Mexican drug cartels to go into Arizona and buy weapons from authorized gun dealers. So then they can go around and kill American border security people, and it'll be blamed on the Second Amendment, of course. So we have a number of things going on because of the Chinese influence in the ports, owning a lot of ports, the communist mentality of a lot of the local mayors and city councils and whatnot. It seems that the Chinese are funneling arms and probably training and trained cadres into America now, because I saw a video the other day of a large amount of black militants in Georgia. And then in one of the videos, they were well-armed. They had protective body armor, etc. And then one video caught them screaming out, Allah Akbar, right? So I go, well, these aren't just American, African-American blacks. These are like Africans from Somalia and Sudan. And the Chinese for a long time has been funneling a large amount of arms into Sudan and Somalia, fueling those wars in that region. From your perspective, and knowing how the communists work worldwide, what do you see as the potential for that? How, you know, what direction that can go, right?
You mean the Chinese takeover?
Yes, the potential for that, of using the Chinese as a means to eradicate, after all this chaos and anarchy, eradicate what's left of American society.
Oh, yeah. Of course, that potential is great. I mean, with the Chinese, you know, yes, arming Muslims in Sudan and Somalia and whatever, yet at the same time, in their own country, they sent Muslims to re-education camps. Yeah. So, as everybody else, they are playing a double game. And especially in Africa, I noticed, because, you know, I spend a lot of time in Africa, and I noticed that in the very beginning, people were excited about, yeah, the Chinese are coming in, and there's funding and projects and so on and so forth. And then, how it always is, reality strikes again. And then what happened? A lot of factories all of a sudden had to shut down. And the reason was, Chinese factories, the reason was the workers, the Africans, hadn't been paid for months. month. And so they went on strike. But when they went on strike, they arrived in front of that factory only to find out that the Chinese had already left the country. There was nobody there to protest or anything. So yeah, they had been working for a couple of months in vain. And yeah, so Chinese takeover of the US, I don't know. Ideology, yes. But a real takeover, I don't see that right now. But I would say this, the Americans are capable of destroying their country themselves. So I don't really think they need the Chinese for that.
Yeah, they don't really need much help, or at least people. I don't know how they, what they self-identify as now, if they're pulling statues down and attacking innocent people, how they even consider themselves Americans. But your point is well taken, because even if some of the scenarios that people have worked out, you know, people have game planned how this would play out with the Chinese, because they've long had some control in the southern American Mexican border, and also all the different ports of entry, that it's possible there could be like a multi-front thing going on, where Chinese backed and trained and armed cartels and other, let's say, mercenaries come up from the south, and then you have all the infiltration through all the various ports and working and arming Black Lives Matter, arming Antifa. I agree it would be difficult for an outside armed force to take over America in that fashion, because there's so many Americans armed, and it's getting to the point now where a lot of Americans that have had time to think about all this, they realize that it's not a question of us versus them. It's a question of survival now. And there's other issues that may come into play, the possibility that some state actor, the Chinese, or someone, or some deep state player could use some EMP weapon to knock out the electrical grid and create more chaos and more confusion. What's happened in the recent past also from a geopolitical standpoint, Judith, is once again, Iran finds itself in the crosshairs of a lot of Anglo-Zionist attention. In this case, attacks against a nuclear research facility in Iran, and also what's alleged to be a missile development plant in Iran have been struck by Israeli airstrikes or some form of subterfuge or sabotage. It seems that while all this BLM, Antifa, COVID stuff is going on and is creating a huge distraction, there may still be an effort to engage America in a wider war against Iran and against perhaps China. What are your thoughts on that? Because we see a lot of activity in the South China Sea and other places in the North Pacific where there may be issues between America and China. And I'd like your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, these attempts have been there for years and years and years. If they will pull it off this time, I wouldn't really be surprised. But on the other hand, there's also a possibility that, you know, they take it into a whole different direction. And as you said, with the second lockdown and so on and so forth, and they collapse everything that way. Just the other day, I checked a website that is monitoring cargo flights. And I checked a lot and a lot of airlines. And passenger flights, okay, they have been limited, of course. But most airlines have even limited their cargo flights. And even Cargolux, for instance, is an airline that only does cargo flights, and even they limited their flights. So let's say the second lockdown comes, and it will even be a little bit harsher than the first one, then we will probably see even more cargo flights diminishing, and probably even cargo on sea. So that would be a perfect scenario to collapse the entire world economy, because that has been hit hard and fast already. And yes, that might be the final blow. No real war, you know, one-on-one needed. That is a possibility as well. I don't have a crystal ball. As I said, I wouldn't be surprised if they pull off another war to add to the entire confusion and depression and whatever is going on. But I also see the possibility that they take it into a whole different direction. And the warmongering is basically to add to your anxiety, all over anxiety.
We're already seeing that the truckers who deliver by what they call in America 18-wheeler big rigs, there was a poll conducted amongst truckers in America, and they were asked if they would deliver goods into a Democratic city that had defunded the police, right? Something like 78% of the truckers that responded said, no, I'm not going to go into those places. And we've already seen how truckers and other motorists have just been attacked by these crazed leftists all over the place. So, and also I forget the term exactly about the global shipping industry, the dry goods index or something like that, which describes the amount of shipping, of cargo shipping going on around the world. And for some years now, the rate of that is reduced drastically as far as cargo shipping around the world. So what we're seeing, like you just mentioned, Judith, is the possibility of this incremental collapse. It won't be like it hasn't been an overnight thing like the 1929 deliberately staged Wall Street crash, but it's trending in that direction, because already we've seen small and medium-sized businesses just wiped out. So if we get to a situation where the shelves are bare and famine starts to break out in society, do you see a possibility, and this happening not just in America, but in Europe, what steps do you think the authorities will take to fix this solution? And we know from a problem reaction solution standpoint how that works. If this wide-scale food riots, for example, break out in America and in Europe, what do you think would happen then?
I will get to that, but because you talked about truckers, just the other day the EU came up with a new law that truckers in the EU are no longer allowed to sleep in their truck. They have to go into a hotel. So now imagine we have a second lockdown and hotels are closed again. And now they are not allowed to sleep in that. So now what? You know what I mean?
Well, it's a disincentive to continue being a truck driver, that's for sure. And we've seen similar things, and they've crammed a bunch of people in these big towers in Melbourne, Victoria. This is like a government subsidized housing, if I'm not mistaken. And they've just locked people in there and they don't let them out. And they also are using this excuse of this place. It's like called the Crossroads Hotel, of all things. When I think of Crossroads, I think of Nibiru, the planet of the crossing. I think of all that stuff, right? Robert Johnson, the blues player, going down to the crossroads to make a deal with the devil, right? Of course, everything is symbolic. But now they're saying this Crossroads Hotel is a site of a big outbreak now. It's one of those focal points. So, well, where will these truckers go, Judith, if they can't sleep in their cabs, if they can't sleep in hotels? It's a complete disincentive for them to even do their job, and they'd probably be laid off anyway.
Yeah, so so in that case, you know, with another lockdown, I don't see, because the hotels were closed pretty much. And of course, you know, no truck company, you know, they usually do not own the truck themselves. They are hired. And of course, they will not pay a 5-star hotel for their truckers. So then that is an end of the road, literally, because then there will be no food coming to any store if that happens. And I think that was a very stupid idea, but at the same time, of course, in the big picture, it was probably planned that way, even if those who nodded it off don't understand what they are doing. Most politicians do not understand what they are doing. Yeah. So, but okay, your original question was, no, I lost it. I'm sorry. With the food crisis, what the governments are doing. Yeah. Okay. Allegedly, here in Germany, our government has bunkered food in case of food crisis or any other type of emergency. If that is so, we will see. But they also told us to have our own reserves at home. Yeah. They said for at least 10 days, but that is nothing. Yeah. So what I can imagine is food for vaccine, food for testing, food for, yeah, whatever they dream up that, you know, it's not, yeah, okay, you're in need, we have a crisis here, we give the food to the population. No, there will be a catch to it, I'm pretty sure. In what shape or form, we will see, but I can imagine something like that. That, yeah, okay, you want food, here is the vaccine, take it, or you will not get any food.
Well, even for people who are like, you know, like me, who refuses to have that tracer app thing, right? There's ways of dealing with people like us. For example, now they're doing more restrictions on the restaurants again in my state, New South Wales. So I think they're going to get back down to, you know, 10 people or whatever, depending on the size of the establishment. But what they've been doing in the recent past is, when you come in to dine at some place, a lot of places, you got to give your ID, a phone number. And so that way, in case somebody comes down with COVID while you were dining or before or after you were dining, they can contact you, right? So it's all about this panoptic, all-encompassing control. And it's very interesting too. I think I spoke last time about this Unit 8200, this Israeli NSA type agency. They also, it turns out, have developed this application. That's a COVID-19 tracking application. And they're set to roll it out in America and probably other places. Now, this is an agency, a private firm, actually, that already has contracts deeply embedded with Lockheed Martin, deeply embedded throughout the U.S. Department of Defense already. So as we saw in, there were calls in Australia to use the military to deal with this COVID crisis, so-called. We've seen a video of motorists in Victoria, and you know they're being swabbed as they're sitting there in their driver's seat. They're being swabbed by these people, these checkpoints set up to swab people. Well, now this Israeli company is set to put out this tracking system to monitor people if they have it, if they've been around people that have had it. It'll monitor all their movements and all their tendencies and everything else. And already people, because of the stage two again, and we may be going into stage three and beyond, their movements are already restricted anyway, cheated. So now they're going to roll out this tracking thing. It's very Orwellian. It's very dystopian.
Yeah. And that is why I'm not going. I told you last time, I'm not going to any beer garden, not going to any restaurant. I refuse to be registered. And in 2012, I threw away my cell phone. And since then, never had one. And now, it felt a little bit strange for the first 2 weeks. But after that, you know, I'm okay. I'm not really missing anything. And now when I look what is going on, I love that decision that I did that. Yeah. And I know it's not popular. And I know there are thousands and millions of people who tell themselves, I cannot live without my cell phone. And that's okay. The other day I read an article, it was on Zero Hedge, where people said that with the update, this Corona tracking app installs itself. So, and some reported that when they went into settings, and although it was that they selected off, that it was still tracking. So I don't know. I cannot speak to that because I don't have one. People have to check that out for themselves. But I'm really, really happy that I do not have that thing. And that is, of course, they know who I am. Of course, they know that I'm not under the impression that maybe they even have a file on me. I don't know. I don't really care. But it's just, I'm not playing ball. You know what I mean? I hate to play along. And even if you do not want to give up your phone, just leave it at home once in a while. You know, go out so that you cannot be tracked. You leave it at home, or you buy a simple one, the one that is not a smartphone. And if you're among people that that thing cannot track you, there are ways to work around that still. So yeah, we will see.
They foster this dependence on so many people, especially the young, as you know, with their digital devices. Now, what's been going on for some time is some employers require people to download certain apps for, you know, timesheets and what have you. So that's unfortunate. And also, as far as the face mask.
Yeah, but can't you do that on a laptop?
Well, you probably could, yeah. And I didn't think about that, but you're right. of course, it gets back to the whole issue of emissions, that these digital devices, laptops, the Wi-Fi, that it all creates this toxic environment in which we live. And what they've done also with the face mask issue, which is just the ultimate of subservience, of just, I don't have a voice, I'm just obedient and everything.
The muzzle.
The muzzle. There are actually a lot of employers now that require their employees, when they're working, to wear a mask too. So it's one of those things where there are people out there that know what's going on or have a very good idea, but they're still compelled to wear these masks. See, so it's an act of submission. It's an act of subservience. Who would have thought, Judith, in such a relatively short period of time, we would see the human race reduced to this level? And it's...
Yeah, it took them like 3 months.
And you know, this whole Babylon control system has has emerged. It's been there all along, but now it's come out in full flower. What do you see as far as the... You probably don't watch the mainstream news. If you don't have a phone, you probably don't watch...
I don't even have a TV. I don't have a radio. I don't have a TV. I don't have a cell phone. Yeah. So our obedience makes tyranny possible. And that is where I do not let people off the hook. Yeah. And that is why I come back again and again and again to know yourself. Because if you want to resist manipulation from others, you have to know yourself. You have to know who you are, what you stand for. Otherwise, you will be lost sooner or later. It might not be this week or next week, but there will come a point. And if you do not stand up and stand against it with the little things, you will not be capable of resisting the big one. Let's say, take your vaccine or you do not get food. Yeah, something like that. So I would suggest, get prepared, have food ready for a couple of months. And even if you do not need it, so what? Then next year, you have to shop less. No, but it is us. We make it possible. Yeah. Our compliance and our obedience is that what feeds the tyrant.
Yes, that's exactly what's going on. We've seen it with so many people that have just bought into the mainstream narrative. It's like you're living on another planet now. You're just surrounded by these beings that they appear to be human, or at any rate humanoid, but this external force has so corrupted them internally that they're just like, you know, puppets on a string, and what Randy Moggins called NPCs.
NPCs, non-player characters.
Yeah, except now it's taken an added twist because they're all players from the standpoint of their face mask wearing, shaming, guilting people now. And, you know, with your historical background, it's a mistake for people to think that this cannot go down some dark roads, because we've seen the Ukraine famine, we've seen the annihilation of the people in the former Soviet Union, we've seen the annihilation and throughout the Warsaw Pact Eastern Bloc. It wasn't just, you know, strictly, you know, going on in formerly Russia. But we also saw what happened in Mao's China, the Great Leap Forward, the Cultural Revolution, basically destroying all history of the past, of China's greatness going back thousands of years. If people don't realize that we are on the precipice of a very deep abyss, if people don't wake up, enough people wake up, and anything is possible. We've known for years, Judy, that there are FEMA camps. We've known for years that the FEMA camps are just a new version of these gulags. So from your European perspective, you know, in the time we got left in this first segment, you know, you made a good point about preparation, mentally, physically, spiritually. What can you tell our listeners that, or people who are not really familiar with these things that are just sitting on the fence, just the seriousness of this from a historical perspective?
I think we will reach a point, make it or break it. And I don't want to be the doomsday prophet here, because usually I have a very positive attitude, and I, no matter what, I usually can keep my humor. And but as I said, be prepared physically, have food, have a plan, have maybe another place to go to, have it in your head, buy some physical maps. Yeah, there might be a day when it's not advisable to use GPS. Yeah, maybe you should get rid of that thing as well. So learn to read a map. It's not really that hard. And have your bag ready in case you need to shift quickly, and have an idea where to go depending on where you are and how bad it gets. And but the most important thing is be spiritually and mentally prepared for it, because you can be prepared, let's say, with food and guns and what have you, up to here. If you're mentally not prepared, there is a good chance that you still won't make it. Because if you believe deep down, this is it, this is the end, then it will play out that way. And if you are a little bit balanced, then opportunities might show up that you didn't even expect.
I agree. The spiritual aspect of it, the ability to retain one's self-awareness and you know, calmness, if you will, is going to be important. And also, I would add that our association, who we associate with, there's going to be people that we thought were good, loyal friends, but when push comes to shove, when the food riots break out, that these are the first people that will inform on you. These are the first people that will, because they're going to want food, they're going to want water, they're going to want, you know, electricity, right? So, like yourself, I will always have a positive outlook about things. This is not the first time the human race was pushed to the brink of extinction, let's say. And in the past, the human race has always found a way to get back up again. And so I'm absolutely certain that some good will come out of this. So we've reached the end of a fascinating discussion in our first segment with Judith Kwoba. And we'll provide all of Judith's YouTube channel information. She also has a new Patreon set up, and we'll talk more about that in the second half. So if you like what we do, if you believe what we do here at the Cosmic Switchboard Show, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.